An artist's duty, as far as I'm concerned, is to reflect the times. I think that is true of our painters, sculptors, poets, musicians. It's as far as I'm concerned, it's their choice. But I choose to reflect.
Hello, Chrissy.
Hello, Male. Hey.
and also, so good to and everyone else in between. It's so good to see your face finally after like 40 years of technical difficulties.
Seriously, what you do not see on or hear on the podcast, I should say, is a lot of us just being like, "Oh nope, oh nope."
Can you hear me? Oh no, yo, you're crackling.
Oh, nope,
you're crackling again.
But we've succeeded. We haven't succumbed. We've succeeded.
We have not solved the issue, but we have circumvented the issue.
Exactly.
And made it work.
And yeah, we're just going with the flow. But how have you been? Yeah,
been all right.
Yeah.
You know, holidays are weird and hard. But good, I suppose. How about you? We took a week off, so it's been like a full, probably like closer to 2 weeks since I've seen you.
Yeah. It's holiday was okay. It was pretty okay. It was successful one for me, which I usually say successful just because you like historically Thanksgivings have been pretty triggering and difficult for me personally. And I won't go into too much deep on that, but it this time actually went well for what it was, and that was a success. And any year that I do well at Thanksgiving, I'm like, okay,
woohoo, yeah.
But yeah, so doing well, and I kind of got back home and was feeling a little. By the way, I was not traveling. I was safe, guys. I just want you to be aware of that. But I, when I did get back together with my roommates, I was just kind of like feeling funky. But all of a sudden, I've had this surge of creative energy, so that's exciting.
That's awesome.
I went back to school, specifically film school. I'm doing a couple of online courses, so things are happening.
Yeah, things are freaking happening. That's awesome. I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you.
I didn't do anything.
You did. But you survived
I
Thanksgiving.
I did, but yeah. So, do you wanna just like
dive into girlfriends? In?
Yeah. I did not take a single note, not at all. I did not write down anything.
This will be a really good, fun, loose episode, though, then, because I watched this about, I think, 2 weeks ago is when I first watched it, and I was like, oh, it's fine, I'll just rewatch it closer, and then I realized later on that I had rented it, and then it expired, and I was like, I'm not gonna rent it again!
I thought that it was
on Criterion.
On the Criterion channel. It's just in the collection. It's not on the Criterion channel.
So stupid. Those
Yeah.
Should, I feel like those should mirror each other, but whatever.
Because I was like, because I found it, and there's no like overlap in like the store and the actual like the streaming site, and it gets confusing. Those were, like, two separate entities.
Gotcha.
And it's annoying, and I'm an old person, and I thought I found it, but it was the DVD version.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was, like, I went on there, and I was, like, it's not on there, but it said it was just added to the Criterion in 2020. Puts on nerd glasses. This doesn't make any sense.
I'm so confused.
Yeah. By the way, listeners, if you're unfamiliar with the Criterion channel and you love film and you want just like a easy way to access a bunch of really cool films, Criterion is a great resource for films that have made the industry what it is, all that cool stuff, you know. There are a couple of flops, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, some of it's just some pretentious bullshit.
Yeah.
But there are some really, like, golden pieces of work.
Absolutely.
In there. Yeah. There's some things that I watch and I'm just like, I am just, like, watching someone just, like, jerk themselves off.
Yes!
Like, creatively. For 2 hours.
Yeah. It's my art. It's part of me. And I'm like,
I'd rather watch porn, okay?
We get it. We get the message here, and it's that you really felt like this. Anyway, but yeah. Girlfriends is not like that, though. Girlfriends.
No! Great. And honestly, it's really great. It was directed by Claudia
Weil.
Help. Okay, I was like, believe. I'm gonna fuck it up. I'm gonna fuck it up.
I was like, it's either Well or Weil, and then I watched an interview like just a second before we started recording, and I was like, oh, Weil, it's Weil.
Amazing. This is definitely a movie that I'm planning to rewatch.
Me too.
Because spoiler, I'm very bad, and I just watched it this morning.
That's not bad. That's all about, like, what we're doing. Like, whether it's you studied something or it's a first reaction, I think both are important.
Yeah, so it's very fresh. Yes. It's quite fresh. I actually just finished it, like, 30 seconds before we started the call.
I love this. No, but that's good because I'm very stale. So, like, we'll be...
So we've got, like, other. You know, we'll meet somewhere in the middle.
I love it. Okay. Well, I love this movie, too. I'll be honest. After I finished it, I was like, you know what? That felt like, getting to, like, okay. Ugh, I'm about to say something that's going to sound bad, but I promise you it doesn't, if you just wait.
Lay it on me.
Stick with me, guys. Okay, so as I was first starting my journey into my love of film as a kid, I watched Woody Allen, and I did like his stuff. This was prior to me knowing any of
that. Ooh, I'm sorry.
We hate Woody. I want to be clear that we do not like Woody Allen. We do not support Woody Allen.
I'm sure you're getting there, but I just, yes. Like, just gotta throw it out there.
I love,
We do not support men who marry their stepdaughter.
And,
like,
assault and rape, and also he's and, just, you know, a kind of shitty person.
Groom and then marry your stepdaughter. If you'd like an update on how he has not grown at all as a person, you can hear him recently on Alec Baldwin's podcast.
Oh my god. Double whammy there.
There's so much to unpack there. He's just like, I'm Alec Baldwin, and I love Woody Allen, and he has not been without controversy, and without further ado, here is Woody Allen.
Woody Allen. we hate, oh my gosh, yes, okay.
Oh, and let me be clear, I'm not a listener of Alec Baldwin's podcast, do not.
You were just staying on the pulse.
Yeah, just staying on the pulse.
Of the controversy, and... But what I was going to say was that this film felt like it could fulfill or satiate that maybe missing part of you that was like, well, now I can't watch Woody Allen films anymore because he's ruined them all by being who he is. And this felt like very original. I don't want to say that Claudia at all mimicked or imitated, but there were a lot of what I felt like that 70s vibe and 70s style of filming that was so... It's really not Woody Allen. It's a style of the century or of the time. And that's what I'm trying to say. So forget all the Woody Allen shit that I just prefaced this
But with. No, I do think that that's a good comparison as far as, like, Annie Hall goes or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I would say, like... they call, like, the early 2000s, like, the birth of, like, mumblecore and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But honestly... No,
70s.
No. It was the 70s. And this is, like, an early nod to, like, mumblecore. It's a movie that's, like, about a woman unsure.
Yeah.
And, like, drifting. And it's beautiful.
I love it. And actually, so Claudia, the director of the film, she created the story, and then the screenplay was written by her friend Vicky Polan. And she was saying how the inspiration for this story that even came was because she was reading this novel called, I believe it's called Advancing Paul Newman by Eleanor Goldman. And she said the last line of the first chapter was, "This is a story of two girls, each whom suspected the other of a more passionate connection with life." And I was like, that is this movie. And so that makes sense that was like the seedling, that was like the birthplace of this film. And as a woman who has like coveted other women's passion for life, I felt like that was just such a succinct way of like saying that, and just such a beautiful stepping point for the film.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, because it's always, it's always a thing of, like, grass is greener.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in this case, like, they both sort of thought, like, the other was doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting, that's the position that she took with it.
Yeah, because you could take two sides of it, as in, like, either being envious of other people's experience or mocking other people's experience because they are so full and secure in themselves, and then you feel not that way, and so defensiveness and all those fun.
Right. It's a lot of like, well, there's no way that this person could be happy, because if I were in their position, I wouldn't be happy.
Right.
And it's all a projection.
Exactly.
No, you go.
I was just gonna ramble.
Oh, go, because I was gonna take it. Because I'm gonna take it in a different.
No,
direction.
That's why you should.
I'll let you go.
I had nothing to say.
No, you go.
I honestly had nothing to say. I was just gonna be like, yeah, and the movie is good.
And boop a doop a doop
and you should watch it.
And who should watch it? I was just going to say, I also think it's important to note that this is, it's honestly like, it's a breakup movie.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. And it's about like the intimacy and the just like the complicatedness, that's not a word, of female friendship.
Yeah, and, like, breakup's the perfect word for what I feel like happens here, because, like, one of the first notes that I wrote when watching it was, like, they already feel like an old couple, aware of each other's idiosyncrasies and needs. Like, within the first scene, they're, like, doing specific things for each other that they know the other needs, and, like, asking specific things and checking in, and it just felt very much like a relationship between lovers, almost, but they're best friends.
It's a very, it's platonic intimacy, and I love that theme. It's so good.
I think it's because we need more of it, so that's why mm-hmm. we're so, like, just like, ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, and, like, I don't know, just like reading each other's poetry while the other's sitting on the toilet, just like these very beautiful... Mm-hmm. like intimate, kind of imperfect, maybe even a little gross moments that are just what kind of makes life like this moving masterpiece at all times. And
mm-hmm.
that's what this film felt like. You know, you have a general plot line, and the plot line is two best friends have an apartment together. One decides to go get married. I like how I said that. One decides to go get married, I guess.
Yeah. What's her name? Susan. She says, "You left me." And Annie was like, "I didn't leave you. I got married."
Yeah. And it's like, those are the same.
That's the same.
But yeah, and it's so like the general plot line's pretty subtle, because it's like, okay, what's Susan, our lead, what's Susan going to do now that she no longer has constant company? another single person to share experiences with, and now she's kind of alone, and so it's mostly focused on her with a couple of back and forths with other characters, but I loved that it was such a loose plot because it allowed for some, like, real-life moments. And that's my favorite aspect of film. That's why it felt so much like Frances Ha to me. Also because of female friendship.
The beauty of mumblecore. Yes. That's the beauty of mumblecore, baby.
Yes. But so good. And, yeah, and also, like, a big reason as to why, so Susan is played by, famous Jewish actress Melanie Mayon? I never know how to pronounce her name. But the reason why she was cast specifically was Claudia Wells, Claudia Weil.
We're just out here butchering names, y'all. We're just hacking away. Left and right, we are serving up the worst pies in London, and
yes, so good. Yeah, but like, and Claudia and the actress Melanie, who plays Susan, do look very similar if you see them in photos together. And part of that was because Claudia was like, "Well, I wanted to hire someone and cast someone that looked like me because I wasn't seeing that, you know, like Jewish, like Jewish, funny, like cool, like slightly neurotic girls who always play the side characters when really like our personalities are what make us so intriguing to an audience. Imagine having a whole movie about us. Like,
yeah,
that's what I loved about it. I say one, I'm not Jewish.
Oh. Yeah. But one review that I saw that I didn't like was, it was a positive review, and there was a line in there that said something like, it's a beautifully sympathetic portrait of an unattractive girl in New York. And I was like, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah,
you,
okay.
Like,
I read one plot summary. I can't remember where it was, if it was on Amazon or where it was, but I need to figure it out so I can write them a strongly worded email. But the plot summary said something of like, a chubby girl in New York. I was like, what?
Are you kidding me?
She's not chubby at all. She dresses maybe a little like loose, like she loves loose clothing. But like,
yeah,
the minute we start labeling someone of a totally normal body size chubby.
Oh, good Lord.
But she's not.
She's a size 2, y'all.
Yes,
like,
she's not. No, like, whatever. But again, like, these are the trials that, like, women have to jump, or and the hoops that we jump through, like, to make a movie.
And see, that's, like, us watching it is like, well, we didn't even think of that. We were just like, oh, like, she's pretty, like, and it wasn't even a thought that, like, registered.
Yeah,
you know, we
no.
just, it was just, like, a neutral response to it, and like all of these reviews are just like tearing into her appearance, and it can't just like be a story,
right? Like why does her,
you know what I mean,
have to,
like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, she's getting fucked, okay? Like, she's desirable, like,
yeah, exactly. Yes, she meets people in the movie, guys. Like, she's not, like,
if you need, like, something to validate that, which, like, that doesn't even matter, but like, she is getting fucked, okay?
Yeah.
I think by Christopher Guest.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, Christopher Guest. Yes, from Princess Bride.
His movies are like, is he in that movie?
Think he plays the guy that has the beard and the long hair, and he's like the prince's weird henchman. He's like, well, now I'm gonna put you on the machine. Now he doesn't say that.
Is he?
I think so.
Cause he's like waiting for Guffman, Best in Show.
Let me see.
I'm
Googling it now. I just typed in Google. That's where we are today. okay, girlfriend. All right.
Yeah. Okay. He played Eric. Is that right?
Yeah, Eric. Yes. So he was in. What's it? what's it called? The Princess Bride.
He wasn't?
Mm-hmm. He plays, like, the creepy...
Okay, I also just realized, or just learned recently, that fucking Mandy Patinkin is Inigo Montoya.
Yes!
Oh, I just Mandy. Learned that. And... It's just because I think that's just because, like, Princess Bride is a movie that, like, I've seen so many times and, like, as a kid, that it's just, like, I hate to say this, but it's like the actors are not people. It's just
no,
like,
yeah,
they're just it's almost like it's a cartoon movie. It's like because they're all just like caricatures to me,
right? Well, and it's, yeah. It is such a whimsical, silly movie, too. And a lot of these actors that are in it are very, like, serious, well-known kind of actors.
Right.
Not necessarily comedic actors. So it is interesting. Yeah, I think, yeah, and then he ended up doing Criminal Minds, was it?
Did
he? Wild. Yeah, some sort of cop.
See, I am so tapped out of the, yeah. like... The cop shows and like all of that. I don't watch any of them.
No, thank you. Especially these days, it's like, why would I A-cab. Waste my time? A-cab.
Yeah, A-cab always. Even you, Andy Samberg. Sorry.
I know. sick freaking Brooklyn Nine-Nine was my.
I've never watched it, but
I watched it heavily when I lived in Colorado because I was very depressed and I just wanted a goofy guy to be dancing yeah. on screen for me. And I was like, Andy Samberg does that. Great. Now this he is does my that. Show.
Yes. we're tangenting so far, but
oh, yes.
I've been watching old episodes of SNL, and I'm on the Andy seasons. I started with his and Bill Hader's first season.
Beautiful era.
And beautiful.
Wild, untamed, unbridled.
Golden era. Anyway.
Back to girlfriends.
Back to girlfriends, yeah.
Yeah. So, other things about this movie. There was one line about marriage that I thought was interesting. How can you be so sure when you're so unsure? Referring to that, and really that can go on to anything. It's like, I feel like when we started this journey, you know, we were very unsure, but we also knew we wanted it to happen, so we made it happen, and maybe that's how marriage works. And that
I mean, I think that's like that can apply to like career as well, because also we think we think of marriage in terms of, like, forever, and it's, like, whatever, yeah, it, quote-unquote, should be. But also, it's, like, not, you know? Like, life is just a string of random decisions, and, like, sometimes they work out well, and sometimes they don't.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and
I don't
know. I feel like that also, like... Definitely, Claudia did a great job of showing what it is also like to be in that age where everyone around you is starting to settle down and get married and you're not. And like one really beautiful moment was, so her friend ends up getting married. She goes to the wedding, but you only see part of the wedding, and then the rest of it is just audio of the wedding, like the speeches and everything, but the scene itself is back in Susan's apartment, and she's painting the walls of her apartment red, which was something that her and her roommate Anne argued about originally.
Yeah.
And it was just, I loved that moment of just, like, isolation and just, like, that very real feeling of, like, everyone's happiness is haunting you and just, like, weighing down on you as you paint your apartment red and you're lonesome. And when she sees her friends later after the wedding has happened, all they can ask her about is Anne's wedding and nothing about, like, her personal journey. She's a photographer in New York City. She's, like, hustling, doing her best. And
right.
Nobody seems to care until,
right.
you know, until she gets her own show.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I thought that was, like, a really beautiful scene. And I just live for shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also love it, like, as a photographer, she's doing these, like, bar mitzvah jobs and, like, weddings, which it's, like, not ideal.
not ideal. You know, speaking from experience.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hire me, but also I hate weddings.
I'll make you look gorgeous, but I'll be dying inside.
I will be miserable the whole time. Because that's the thing is, like, she's an artist. She's not a wedding photographer. Like, she's not... She is a photojournalist in a sense, but not in the, like, sort of anesthetic way that, like, that sort of work feels, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And some of those moments where she is shooting these, like, little bar mitzvah boy parties and stuff are so beautifully human. I loved them. And, like, also, can we take a moment to discuss the rabbi situation?
What is that?
That threw me for a loop. And I personally was like, I would have been okay if this hadn't played a part in it. I would have loved for him to... I'll say this first, and then I'll explain more. I would have loved for him to be a platonic mentor, a loving father figure.
And I mean, like, that's kind of how they painted him at first, because, like, they were playing chess together and, like, just chilling, hanging out, and he was, like, you know, listening to her ramble and stuff, like, just, like, as a rabbi does.
yeah, and they had such a good, like, tête-à-tête back and forth, and it, but not in a flirtatious way, in a very much, like, almost, like, a brotherly, sisterly way, and I loved it. And then...
communal love sort of thing, like...
And then they made it weirdly romantic, but in a very depressing, brief way, where it, like, fell apart very quickly, and I was like, well, maybe Claudia was trying to show, like, such is life, these are weird things that happen.
Well, and it's like, we think that, like, this person of authority is emotionally mature... we would expect him to be, and everyone's disappointing, and I don't know, maybe that was the point.
Do you feel like that was, like, kind of maybe her message around it, or do you think it was, like, just our perception of it on that end?
I don't know.
I would love to pick her brain about that part specifically, because it did mess with me a little bit.
that's kind of, like, my thinking behind it. Mm-hmm. Because also we have, because that's the function of a lot of characters,
right,
is to show, like, different levels of quote-unquote maturity or just, like, stages of life or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think he's supposed to, like, symbolize, like, wisdom and stuff, and then he, like, comes into her life in, like, a weird way. And it's like,
he's just as clueless.
Sort of shatters that facade, I guess.
Yeah. I like that way of looking at it better than, like, this was just a weird plot point that...
And he was gross. Yeah.
But they ended it amicably, which is why...
Yeah.
I mean, somewhat. He was basically just like, I can't keep cheating on my wife with you. And she was like, cool, I understand.
Yeah. Because yikes. Because there was also that other photographer, I can't remember her name, was it like Jane or something?
Yeah.
Jane? No. Maybe.
I can't remember, but...
The one who doesn't, she doesn't live in the city, she has so much work, she doesn't know what to do, and even still, like, she's, like, she ends up being, like, jealous of Susan at a point. Because, and Susan, like, thinks that Jane has it all. She's got it all together. She doesn't have to hustle in the city, and she just comes in when she wants to and whatever. But then, like, Jane comes in the city, and she's like, I envy you. And it's just interesting. It's like, again, grass is always greener, and, like... What's the finisher?
And even, like, when we see the glimpses into Anne's life, she seems not that happy ever in any of the scenes that we see of Anne with her husband and then her eventual baby that she mm-hmm. has. Like, you don't see, like, a lot of enjoyment, but not that that was the point, but again, like, we can assume as single people, like, because society has really, like, crammed it on in for us to feel like we have to be coupled up and, you know, it's cuffing season and all that good stuff, but there's just as much pain and loneliness and unhappiness in relationships as there are without.
Exactly. You can't escape your own brain.
You can't escape your own brain. And so what do? You have to focus inward always first.
Because that being said, like, I don't think that Martin, her husband, is a bad person.
No, he's a little annoying, like, but not bad.
He's not bad. I don't think he's, like, bad for her or anything of the sort. It's just, like, you can't run from your own issues. And, like, at the end, whenever Susan and Anne are finally having that, like, whatever you want to call it, like, come together mm-hmm. at the end, she, like, reveals that she had an abortion, which is, like, cool, because this is, like, only a few years post Roe v. Wade, mm-hmm. They're talking, and she's like, I didn't even tell Martin. It's because I'm a coward. Mm. And I'm like, I was like, damn. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. I did appreciate that. I'm sorry. I keep getting a call from a weird number, and that's what...
Oh, I was like, what's happening?
No, it's like, that's why I seem distracted. I keep getting a call, and I can't... And they just keep trying.
It keeps pausing, so I was like, are you taking screenshots? What's happening?
No. I just need them to stop whatever this shenanigan is. Well, one thing I was going to say, not to pivot too far from... Because I completely agree about, like, I think we need to also be talking more about abortion from the stance of the woman versus, like, always from the stance of the child, you know?
Or the couple. Because it's a thing that happened to her body, and it wasn't even, like, she was like, I didn't tell him that... whatever. Well, she says, like, I didn't tell him because I didn't want him to have anything to say about it. Mm-hmm. And she's fully just, like, taking ownership of her own body. And that's cool.
But I really loved that they were able to, like, share that together, because I feel like I've had moments with people in my life that have shared information like that. And I don't know, it's a very, as women, like, when we need to comfort, it's just so important to, like, be able to have these connections with women to share that, because a man will never understand something like that in the way that we would be able to, in some sense. And mm-hmm. so, again, I think, like, this film was also just trying to, like, show the importance of a female friendship in life, because things can happen and we do need that full, diversified support system filled with all...
We need spaces that are not for cis men.
Exactly. We've had too many of those. We're good on those. We are full up.
Max capacity.
One thing on a somewhat lighter note was, I loved that there was one scene where she's getting her hair done, and it was definitely during the era when I think everybody started caring about face shape and stuff like that. And so, they're looking through a catalog, and she's like, can I get this? I think I want something like this. And the hairdresser, he's like, no, you can't get that. She's got a different face shape than you.
He goes, like, it won't look good. She's like, oh, no. He says, He says, it won't work because of your face shape. And she said, will anything work?
And I was like, that's what it feels like
on
a day-to-day sometimes, like, trying to live. And I do believe it is getting better, for sure. But I definitely, as, like, a teen, I remember waking up just feeling like, there's something wrong with me that I need to fix today. Mm-hmm. And so much of my life has been spent, like, figuring out what I need to do to fix this, to fix me.
Mm.
When I didn't even really necessarily have the words of what was wrong with me, other than words that were placed upon me by other people.
Right.
And, you know, those are invalid now.
Meaningless.
Yeah, I really liked just the very human moments in this, like, quotes like, I'm gonna colonize Venus, or I'm trying to colonize Venus, or quotes
yeah. like,
that's true love for you, or true boredom. And, like, yeah, just so many great little things. Also, I believe every feminist film should have one moment displaying sexual harassment when she's in the car with the taxi driver and he's, like, coming on to her. Like, do you remember?
I don't remember what he said.
The specifics of what he said, but he kept, like, harassing her, like, sexually and saying, not, like, harassing her in the sense of, like,
he wasn't, like, sexually harassing her.
He was, because like,
he picked her up and he was, like, oh, yeah, you're going home late. Is this the women's liberation? Uh-huh.
Oh, no, but then he followed it with saying, like, more stuff that I can't remember the specifics of it. It wasn't that part.
I don't remember him sexually harassing her.
He said, I'm going to have to look it up later because I can't remember what it is now. But he does, like...
Now I'm an apologist? Okay.
No. But he, like, at the very least, he, like, comes on to her a bit. Like, he says things that sound, like, somewhat sexual, somewhat flirty. And I feel like...
Yeesh!
Yeah, and I feel like that was a good clip to include. Because it's, like, you really don't know when you're going to encounter sexism. And it can really smack you up the side of the head. And... Yeah.
Slap your ass and call you Sally. And
yeah, they actually will.
They actually will do that.
Sally, smack. Don't do that to me, please. But yeah, and like, just like at my job, I work with all incredible women. And, you know, some guy will come be there and like, nice little place you girlies got. It's like, what the hell? Like, my boss... is a grown woman with 2 children and an incredible writer and, like, owns her own business and you're gonna call her girly, like, and then, like, bringing up, like, oh, you have 2 kids and you run a business? That must be difficult. And it's like, well, she has a husband.
Yeah.
She's not doing it alone.
Right.
But anywho, Girlfriends is really good, though. I really liked it. I'm definitely going to rewatch because I did get hard Frances Ha vibes, which, yeah.
It looked also, like, very cold. So it's, like, it gives me, like, warm fall feelings. Like.
Yeah. Or even a little December-y, too. Like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Just because it looked freezing the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, is there anything more that you wanted to say about this film? I don't know why I sound like a Muppet character. Is there anything more you want to say about the film?
Well, Chrissy, I'm like... Oh, sorry.
No, I'm living for this. Can we just, like, step into this for a moment?
So, this is my Muppet voice, and, Jesus Christ,
all
I can't do myself...
All in all, this film... Very good.
It was pretty good.
Oh, this is what women look like. This is what women sound like.
And this is why I'm single.
Because
I'm always trying to talk like a Muppet. And,
Basically, though. I really do. I have to fight slipping into this my strange voices when I'm talking to, like, customers or, like, on the phone. And it's like, it really takes all the power within me not to be like, well, I don't know about that.
When I come to the shop, I'm the shop wench.
I'm the shop witch. I'm here to make you some, I don't know what that is. I'm going to stop now before this gets weird.
Chrissy, we've already gotten weird.
We got weird episode one, probably.
Biatches.
Congrats on, this is 13 now? We're on 13 now?
Hey, lucky number 13. Lucky number 13.
Nothing bad's gonna happen. The podcast is going swimmingly. We should get tattoos because it's episode number 13.
Yes.
But with that...
And on that note...
Should we call it a day?
I suppose we shall call it a pod.
All right. Well, Missy, I appreciate your time. I appreciate
you. Well, thank you there, sir. And, kind sir, kind gentleman. And, I guess I'll be seeing you soon.
I guess I'll be seeing you real shortly. Toot sweet. Shake of a lamb's tail.
One shake of a lamb's tail. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. And with that, listeners, we wish you a good afternoon.
Someone hire me for voice acting. God, both I can't speak. Never mind. Good. Never mind.
Voice acting, no, it's happening.
Nah! All right. And with that, we bid you
adieu.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good day.
Good day, kids. Listen.
Good day to you while I said good day.
So I don't think you have a choice. How can you be an artist and not reflect the times? That to me is the definition of an artist.
The music for today's podcast is The Definition by CJ.
You can find more of his music at cjmakesbeats.bandcamp.com.